Hey, Dog Speak Geeks, do you know that we offer virtual lessons? You can sign up at any time through info@dogspeak101.com. Also, don't miss out on our dog communication seminar on demand or one of our live seminars in Middle Tennessee. We would love to assist you with any and all problems that you have, so give us a call, set up your session today. Hey, hey, Dog Speak Geeks. I hope your week is wonderful so far. We are having fall-like weather in Tennessee, and it is absolutely amazing. I would love to be sitting at Urban Dog Bar right now recording this or even working on my project with Willow running around, but unfortunately Willow has a little bit too much histamine in her system, which is giving her a runny nose and some sneezing. Otherwise, she feels okay, but I don't want to take her out to deal with any more of these kind of allergy type symptoms. Good news is, though, our event this Thursday with canine herbalist Rita Hogan at Urban Dog Bar, where I'm going to talk to her about, hey, what do we do when our dogs are suffering from these seasonal allergies with this excessive histamine? Now, I do have her book, and I absolutely have already looked in there, and I found my answers, but it's just one question that could be asked with her on Thursday night. So if you guys have not gotten your tickets, please get your tickets today so we know how many we have coming. $45 gives you the book, the talk, Q&A, plus the mini communication webinar, plus hands-on understanding dog communication out in the yard at Urban Dog Bar. And if you want to bring your dog to Urban Dog Bar, it includes your dog's entry fee, which is a $13 value. So honestly, guys, you are getting so many great things for such a low price because we want you to take advantage of this. So if you're local, please be sure that you get your tickets today in order to be eligible for the mini communication webinar that is actually tomorrow night. So be sure you get that link in the show notes. Okay, one more announcement that I have, and I'm really excited about this. You've heard me mention it on the podcast probably last week or the week before about this woman, The Infinite Unfolding. Her name is Lisa. She came across my For You page on TikTok during a time that I was really struggling with some things. I've been dealing with some, healing of childhood trauma, dealing with some of my attachment issues, just trauma like most of us have. But I am just adamant about fixing this trauma, dealing with this trauma, and living the rest of my life in a way that I can function properly and not be affected by the shit that was kind of created in my pathways as a child. Well, you've heard me talk about how much I love her and how much, you know, when she came across my feed, it was shocking. I was like, oh my God, is this woman like in my head? How does she know so much about me? I can't believe this came across. And I was just like, thank you, universe, for this moment right now. It was much needed. And she spoke a lot like the way I speak. It's just, it's in not really in your face, but it's just not going to, we're not going to sugarcoat it. It's just kind of like, here's the shit you need to do and let's do it. And the reason we can say it this way is because we've been through that. And anyway, I just fell in love with her and it took me a few days, but I reached out to her to see if she wanted to be on the podcast because the way that she speaks about dealing with your trauma as a human being just blew me away. And it got me to thinking that how many of us take our trauma, take our pathways that have been created, such as having an anxious attachment. Okay, I'm an anxious attacher, meaning that I am constantly need reassurance because I don't trust that any type of connection from another human being is going to stay. I don't trust that friendships will last. I don't trust that I'm going to be loved correctly all the time. So I'm constantly kind of grappling for that. And I feel that way because I have a lot of history of abandonment and just, you know, being left to my own, right? It's like, I think there was a time I thought, well, maybe it's because I just show myself as such a strong human that people don't think I need anyone else. In reality, guys, I need support just like everyone else. I need friends that show up. I need friends that, you know, give you a call. I need friends that when they know you're struggling, check in, right? I need those things. I feel like I'm that kind of friend. I'm pretty freaking loyal. And you got to do a whole lot to me to make me decide that I'm done. And I think that is a lot been because of my anxious attachment style. So I'm really healing my anxious attachment style, and it comes from my childhood of not feeling loved consistently, and always disappointing my parents. We'll just say it that way. Mostly my mother. And today, at 50 years old, I'm still getting the same version of my mother as I got when I was a teenager. And I have made a lot of decisions in my life lately to remove people from my life that no longer serve me in the way that I need. And so I really started thinking about, well, how much of my issue have I put on my dogs? Like, how much expectation have I put on my dogs to be there for me because I am dealing with childhood trauma that I'm not healing myself? I hope that makes some sense. I'm really trying to bring this out in a way that's kind of understanding, without kind of getting too personal, because this is not what you guys are here for. But it really just got me to thinking, how many of us take our trauma and kind of put the pressure on our dogs to meet our needs due to our trauma because we're not finding it elsewhere? So to say that, that has gotten me to start working on a project, which is a book. I am working on my next book. And if you don't know, I've had books in the past. They are probably still on Amazon. I don't really recommend them right now because they're older information. Some of the things will stay the same, but most of it's older information. My first book that I put out, called When Love Isn't Enough, was about how we're dealing with rescue dogs and foster dogs. And some of that will still be true. And if you're going to get any of them, that's the one I would do. But this one is a new one. And I think it's going to be kind of a When Love Isn't Enough part two, of being that no matter how much love you have, either for another person, for whatever you have in your relationships, whatever that love looks like, sometimes you can love all you want, but it may not be enough if you're not dealing with the trauma that you have. And so I thought, how can we help owners understand that their trauma that they're trying to avoid, and that they're using their dogs as kind of band-aids, how can we help them understand that to start healing that? And at the same time, create that empathy and understanding on what their dogs may need to help with their trauma. Because I do believe a lot of dogs suffer from trauma, and it's not so much trauma that the human has caused, but just trauma in general. Coming from a rescue to where maybe they were born and their mother didn't have enough milk, so they felt hungry. Maybe they didn't feel safe. They were constantly kind of on edge. And those are creating some different pathways to where, as they become adults or become adolescents, this trauma starts to show up. Just like a lot of times our trauma that we received as children don't show up until way later in life. And I knew I had some trauma, but I just didn't understand it until in the last couple of years, it's really started to come out. And then now at 50, I see it very clearly, and I am healing myself because I'm tired of feeling the way that I have been feeling with my trauma, which just goes to show that these poor dogs, they can't communicate how they're feeling. They can't communicate that they're struggling. It is our job to make sure that we are paying attention to that. So with all that being said, I have started working on a book, but the reason I bring up Lisa from The Infinite Unfolding is that I just loved her, and I reached out and said, please, I would love to have you on the podcast. I would love for us to kind of have this discussion about What are some of the top things that you recommend people do to help start healing their trauma? And then I'm going to talk about things I think is important for we start to do for our dogs on healing with trauma. But just like me, she's very nerdy, talks about, you know, central nervous system and how to calm that thing and how to just deal with these, you know, visceral responses and how to start kind of calming yourself. It's just amazing. Okay. I love her so very much. But anyway, she has agreed. We talked on Saturday. She has agreed. I'm super excited, as you can probably tell. She is going to be recording with me on Thursday, which means, as you guys know, usually I record and put it out. It will be out on Tuesday, barring any issues. Next week's podcast is going to be with Lisa from The Infinite Unfolding, who is a life coach and healing her trauma in real time as well. So you're going to get to see or hear from two of us that are healing our fucking trauma and are trying to help you guys heal your trauma, okay? And there's going to probably be a lot of F-bombs because we both seem to really enjoy that word and like it. And sometimes it's just needed to tell you guys how we're feeling or how important something is. But you should know that by now. If you're a new listener, I apologize, but we do say it like it is. And it's like sitting around in a living room and just chatting with friends. And I'm really excited to have her. And if you guys have not looked her up yet, please go find her on Instagram, TikTok, wherever you are, you know, doing your social media stuff. It is The Infinite Unfolding. And you will not be sorry. I promise you will not be sorry. She has helped me tremendously with some of her videos of just listening and realizing that I am not fucking alone. I am not broken. I am not unlovable. I am not at fault. That I am the only thing I am responsible of right now is me and healing me. So I hope this kind of helps inspire you a little bit to look at your own self in the mirror and say, hey, where do I need to improve with, you know, the shit I've dealt with in the past? Okay, that is not what this episode is about today, but I felt like I really wanted to share that with you because I do appreciate you guys and really enjoy your support and appreciate your support. I know I'm kind of stumbling a little bit through this. I don't do very well talking about myself and about my personal shit because I do come across as a very strong human being. But if you know someone in your life who is a very strong human being, don't think that they don't need support from you. Sometimes just a text, sometimes just a little, you know, phone call. Shit, just a fucking text, dude. Just send a text and say, hey, you know what? I'm thinking about you. So anyway, all right. Today's episode is really about resource guarding. And I know we've had some conversations in the past about resource guarding, but I'm noticing more of it in ways that people are not recognizing. So as an example, I was at Urban Dog Bar and saw a couple of dogs hanging around their mom, who she was sitting close by where the pool, some of the pools are. And every time dogs would come over by the pool, her dogs would kind of come out barking at them and then running back. And it could look like play from some. Some people may look at that and go, oh, they're just trying to play. But when you start to watch it over and over again, what you start to see was that they were resource guarding their mom. Now, I don't know if mom had treats. I don't know if this was something that was a regular behavior. I'd only seen them there a couple of times, but I'd not seen that behavior prior to that day. Could it have been that they were kind of protecting the pool? Yes, if they would have been hovering around the pool, but instead they would come out, kind of bark at the dogs that were going to the pool, and then they'd run back to mom. So it was just a little bit of resource guarding. And then also, we've had resource guarding with Willow. We talked about that when she was a puppy. And she is much, much better. but she is exhibiting a little bit of it when I am eating at Urban Dog Bar and she's hanging around with me. So what I have found the last couple of times is I've worked on it a little bit, but truly when I'm eating, I want to eat. So we'll manage that when I'm there the next time. We'll go into the fenced in area. I'll put her on a leash. That way other dogs can't approach me while I'm eating. It's not like she's lashing out and trying to attack anybody. It's just little movements that she's doing that shows me she's protecting. So instead of laying down next to me, she's pacing around the table. She's getting between my legs. She's eyeing the other dogs coming through. She starts to stiffen. Her head starts to lower. And I'm recognizing it very quickly. But do we look at this and say, okay, she's just being an asshole and being bad behavior? Or is this something that is a learned behavior, or is it instinctual? And so we really do want to understand that resource guarding is not about being an asshole. Resource guarding is not about being dominant. It's not a, you know, you don't even want to consider it bad behavior, okay? Because it is natural and it is a natural survival instinct. Right, so if a dog is protecting something that they value, maybe it's food, space, people, toys, right? This is what resource guarding is, that they are protecting something of value. And a lot of people don't realize that space is something that can be protected, even if there's not a human there, even if there's no food, no toys. I have seen dogs protect space. And that is probably one of the most normal behaviors I see when I get called in for fighting among housemates, where we've got space being guarded and protected, but the owners are not seeing it because it's often not followed with lots of loud barking, growling, snarling, snapping, or even altercations. What they usually see is guarding a bone, a toy, you know, their person. Now, I will say space, sometimes like the couch, but for me, the couch isn't just space. It would be the resource itself, and especially if it's near where the owner sits. So there's some normal behavior when we're looking at that kind of protection of things. And if I have a dog who is protecting an item of value, we'll use an example of, let's say, a bone. If they're chewing on a bone and another dog walks up to sniff the bone, they have every right to communicate that they don't like that. And they may start with some level ones of calming signals, such as ignoring, head turns, maybe just laying their head over it, doing something else. They may pick it up and move to move out of that situation. But if that dog that comes into the space to sniff that bone doesn't recognize those signs or respect the signs, then the dog has no choice but to escalate to our level two, which is your growl and snarl. And that's typically when owners get really ticked, when the dog having the bone is trying to protect that bone. And this is where we go wrong, because in that moment, that is appropriate for that dog who is in possession of the bone to communicate the person or communicate to the dog that's coming to sniff the bone to back away, because it's their item. And if we have that dog who is always having to get growled at in order to be respectful, then the dog is that's protecting the bone will begin defaulting to the level two because he knows that level ones don't work. And then things will typically escalate from there. But if I have a dog who is chewing on a bone and another dog just walks in the room and the dog that has possession of the bone starts to growl or lunge, that is escalated to a point where I do need to interfere. Because in that moment, unless there is extreme history of having that bone stolen by the dog that comes into the room, then we would call that just more of a response that does not match what is occurring in the environment. But if the dog has history that he knows that, oh, every time this dog walks in the room, he steals my bone, yeah, they're going to start being a little bit more protective. So when is it okay and when is it not, right? If I have a dog who is needing to protect an item from, another dog who is commonly disrespecting signals, invading space, and just being too involved, then that is something that deserves protection and communication. But if I have a dog who is escalating because just a dog walked into the room, then we know that that behavior is now getting to a point where altercations are more likely. You know, we do have a lot of dogs that were rescued as strays, or maybe they were in situations that were not ideal. And the majority of your rescue dogs have probably had some type of reinforcement of resource guarding, meaning that they have guarded their resources and it's been successful. And that is the way that they've learned to survive, because you can't survive if you don't have those resources. So if you think about a dog on the street, if they find a resource, they're going to protect it. And that is a natural behavior. And so we have to ensure that we understand where it's coming from, instead of immediately jumping to, my dog is exhibiting bad behavior, my dog is showing aggression, my dog is, resource guarding everything in the world. It's not a behavior that necessarily needs to be looked at as bad. It needs to be looked at, isn't an appropriate time to do it, or isn't it inappropriate time to do it? That's how I look at resource guarding. Sometimes it's appropriate, sometimes it's not appropriate. And I even mean that when we're talking about humans approaching a dog with a bone. And I want to get into that. Let's talk about the learning of resource guarding, because I think when we start to talk about, instinctual, you understand that, right? I don't have to get into that. You understand if a dog has done that on the streets, and that's going to be a natural behavior they're going to do in the house, and it is something that's easy to deal with. I will admit, it's fairly easy to deal with resource guarding. But if we have learned experiences such as competition with litter mates, or let's say every time the human approaches the food bowl, the owner sticks their hand in, gets in the way, maybe removes the food bowl because they're trying to show that they're dominant. When in reality, dogs don't show dominance that way. They don't show dominance. That's not a thing. You can have dominant behavior, but that usually has an underlying motivator that has nothing to do with trying to be, in words of the myth world, alpha. Okay? If I have a dog who starts to believe that every time a human approaches, things get removed, their life-sustaining resource, such as food, gets removed, yeah, you're going to get a visceral response because of the learned experience. Okay, I just talked about my childhood trauma and talked about things of abandonment. If I have this, horrible fear of abandonment, and I start to see someone go, a month without texting me, and I thought we were really good friends, then yeah, that is immediately going to put me into, well, I'm abandoned again, because I'm seeing the signs. And then the next time I get a friend, I'm going to be like, oh, okay, well, let's see. Now it's like, wow, now it's gone to 2 to 3 weeks I haven't heard from them. Wow, maybe they're going to abandon me there. Because I just start to see this pattern go through. The pattern could just be, I don't choose very good friends. Hell, I don't know. But I'm just using an example here. So there's a lot of reasons why dogs may resource guard as a learned behavior and not just a kind of visceral response of instinctual responses based off genetics, right? If we take a Great Pyrenees who was literally bred to resource guard, livestock, yeah, I'm not going to be surprised if they resource guard their bed or a bone. That is not surprising to me. And that's not being that the dog is bad. The dog may exhibit aggressive behaviors such as snapping at you. Doesn't mean the dog is aggressive. The dog is genetically doing something they were bred to do. So if we punish that dog every time they do that, then we're basically saying, hey, who you are is bad for me, so I'm going to try to punish this out of you. And that's only going to increase the resource guarding need. And you're going to start seeing it across the board. Not to mention, you're going to lose all kinds of trust and relationship points if you're doing that. And a lot of humans will punish it because we've been told this is bad, right? We tell our kids, you have to share, you have to share. You know what? I don't believe that we should be making children share everything. I think that we should teach them that sharing is good, but that it is something that they should decide on, that sharing is for them, right? When I go next door to see my kids and we're all hanging out and we got, you know, they got maybe a plate of food and they got some chips on there, I will ask sometimes, hey, can I have one of your chips? And if they say no, I say, okay, maybe next time, right? Because I'm not going to force them into sharing something that is theirs. I think that's how you're going to create resource guarding issues, right? We can sit there and say, hey, it's good to share your things if someone needs it, but we should not make them feel guilty or be punished for not sharing. So if we're doing this with our dogs, you're going to get dogs who don't quite understand the rationale behind it, and you're going to get them being more protective of items because they're not going to trust, right? When we look at behaviors that we don't necessarily like the growl and snarl, yeah, they may be a little scary to you, but they are just communication from your dog. That's how they communicate. That's how the, Great Pyrenees is going to communicate to the coyotes that are coming up through the field. They're going to growl. They're going to snarl. They're going to bark, and they're going to lunge at the fence, and they're going to run that fence line. Because they are protecting and communicating to the coyotes, you're not coming up here. These are my sheep and you are not coming up here. And that's appropriate. That is appropriate. So we have to look at what guardian breeds do we have that creates this genetic predisposition to more than likely start having some resource guarding issues. So just to kind of clear this up about some of the common myths about resource guarding, it's not dominance, okay? It's oftentimes, it's instinctual. It may be that the dog is insecure and not sure what would, you know, what to do if somebody does try to steal it. It could be fear. It could be fear because every time a human walks up near their food, they get punished because of doing something instinctual. Also, can we please stop taking things from your dog to prove that you're dominant? Because you're just being a bully at that point, right? If I told that kid, look, I don't care that these chips are on your plate. I am the adult, and if I want to eat your chips, I'm going to eat your fucking chips. That's not appropriate, okay? Not appropriate. That's not how you prove control. That's not how you build a relationship. That's not how you build trust or even build communication, right? Because not respecting the communication of a dog or even a child, that's not going to build that trust that dog, you know, can count on you. Growling is not bad. Growling is communication. We have to respect it. We have to understand it, understand the context, and make sure that we are doing the right things to respect that with the dog and communicate that we respect that with the dog, right? And if you're not sure if growling is a warning or a calming signal, I highly recommend that you check out our dog communication webinar or our on-demand dog communication. If you don't understand these things, this is why we have that course. And it is the most important course any human being can take that owns a dog. I'm not kidding you. If you do not understand how your dog communicates, you're going to struggle building a truly beneficial, respectful relationship between you and your dog. And you're going to struggle with getting behaviors from your dog. So when we are looking at resource guarding and how we want to deal with it, sometimes it needs to be dealt with, right? Sometimes it needs to be just managed. Sometimes we can kind of help a dog learn that they don't need to do that. Okay. So a couple of things that we can do. One, let's start with prevention. If you want to go look back at our social media, I showed some videos with Willow as a young puppy resource guarding and how we kind of dealt with that. So a lot of the ways that I deal with puppies, especially if they're chewing on something yummy, I will go near them. I will toss some treats and then I just walk away, right? I'll walk past, toss some treats, walk away. Walk past, toss some treats, walk away, right? I don't hover. I don't force them to let me take it. I don't use any firm tones of saying how bad they are for protecting it. I let them know that me being around is that definitely does not mean I'm going to take anything. That more than likely it means I'm going to add something of value to it. And then from there, I'll actually start teaching a drop it with the item. So if my dog's chewing on the bone, I might say drop it, come in with my treat, give the treat, give my dog permission to eat it again and walk away. That way, when she does have something, so like if Willow's outside now and she has something in her mouth and I can't see it, and I'm like, oh, what do you got in your mouth? I'll ask her to drop it. The other day, it was a dead mole. She dropped it. She looked at me. I told her what a good girl she was. And yes, I gave her the mole back. Mostly because I knew she wasn't going to probably eat it. She played with it a little bit. And then I just went out, gave her some treats, and then removed the item. Right. So she's like, okay. So she knows that when I ask her to drop things, it doesn't mean end of fun, end of food, end of reward, that oftentimes it's going to mean more reward. And if it's something that I absolutely do not want her to have, then I'll just take a handful of treats and toss away from the item. And as she moves to go get that, I'll just pick the item up and remove it. Otherwise, I do like to give them back, even if it's just for a few seconds. Okay. So that's a really big one on just kind of that puppy stuff and starting. Now, if you have a dog who, again, has come into your home, maybe they're an adolescent, maybe they're adult, you don't know if they have any type of resource guarding issues, I wouldn't test it, right? You don't want to bring a dog into your home and the first week they're there, you go over there and start messing with their food bowl, right? Don't do that. Actually, never do that. Never, when you're feeding your puppies, never go in there and just take their food away or put your hands in the bowl. How would you like for someone to come over and stick their hands in your food while you're eating? Can we just stop that shit? That is so old school myth crap. Get rid of it. Stop doing it. Also, stop letting your children crawl around your dog while they're eating. Not appropriate. Those are management moments, okay? We're going to get into management in just a minute. But even as an adult, you're going to do the same thing. If they're chewing on something, even if it's behind a gate, if it's in their crate, if it's in a playpen, you can still walk by, toss treats, and keep going. Don't wait to see how the dog's going to do. Just go ahead and start associating positive associations with a human walking past an item of high value. And that includes even with food. Now, if you're managing dogs that are currently guarding things, one, avoid the confrontation. Don't be trying to stick your hand in there. Don't be trying to bully the dog into giving it up, right? Start teaching some really good drop-its. And you can start teaching drop-its with items they can have. Playing with a toy, ask for a drop-it, bring in the treat, give them the treat after they've dropped the toy. Because they're going to drop the toy to eat the treat, and then let them pick the toy right back up. The snatch and grab, stop doing that, okay? Because that is just, you're trying to trick them, and that's going to work 1 to 2 times, and then you're going to create more resource guarding. If you have a dog who does resource guard, always give safe spaces for eating or chewing on things. Playpen, baby gates, crates, anything like that is fine. Giving them a human free zone, making rules in the house when the dog is chewing on their bone on that bed, no one approaches. Or if you're walking by, like I said, toss some treats and keep walking. You don't need to do a whole lot. Okay, you don't have to do a whole lot. For some long-term support, especially for our genetic dogs that have that predisposition for guarding, be sure you are meeting their genetic needs through enrichment on whatever that looks like for them, sniffing, hunting. If you have like a livestock guardian dog who lives in not a farm, then creating something like a job of going out and scanning the backyard, right? Teach them to patrol the fence line. Walk out there, walk with them. Say, let's patrol. And just walk the path you want to do. Do that several times a day. And then start helping them to do it on their own. Teaching them that's their job and making it a job. Not just letting them out to potty in hopes they'll do it. But literally set it up as, all right, it's time to go patrol. Let's go patrol. And so the dog knows the word patrol, what that expectation is, and that can do a whole lot of allowing that expression of protection in a safe way. If you are struggling and you maybe had a bite, there's a bite history, you do not want to do this on your own. If your dog has a bite history with resource guarding, or there are small children in your home with resource guarding, or elderly adults that have thin skin, then you will definitely want to reach out for some professional help. Please only work with someone who uses fear-free, force-free, positive methods. Do not, under any circumstance, work with anyone that uses aversive tools and techniques to punish resource guarding. Because when they're doing that, they're saying, I don't know how to fix it. I'm going to be a bully about it, and I'm going to suppress the behavior. That suppression is very dangerous, because if you suppress behavior of resource guarding, the behavior will come back. I promise you it will come back, and it will come back, and it will no longer have warning signs. At least now you're getting warnings. But if it's suppressed, you're going to get the behavior come back, and it's not going to have warning signs, and that is very, very dangerous. So be sure you reach out to a professional who can help you in a positive way with resource guarding, okay? I know it can feel frustrating. It can feel scary. It can also hurt your feelings, right? It's like, I feed you and now you're trying to protect. Don't take it personally unless you've created a history. Now, if you've created a history where you've been an asshole in the past, yeah, it's your fault. It's your fault, but you're the one that can start to change it. If you've not created a history and you've been all kind to your dog and you've given them everything that they've needed or wanted, and then they do this to you, don't get butthurt, okay? It's more than likely not about you. It's more than likely not about you. So be sure that you don't take it personally. Don't think your dog is bad. Don't think that, it's a behavior that will never be fixed, that the dog can't be trusted. Don't think those things, right? Understand that there may be some history that's created this, whether you were involved or not. There may be some genetic predispositions to this. There may be some early on pathways that were created, such as a puppy on the streets that had to or fight the litter mates because mom didn't have enough milk, whatever the case may be. There may be some things there. So make sure that we want to help this dog heal, because that can be a form of trauma, not having enough. That is a form of trauma. So your resource guarding can actually be a sign of past trauma. So understand that healing does require that safety and trust on both ends. So there are ways to set up safety for your dog in a pen, in a crate, behind a baby gate, whatever that may look like in your home, and then creating some positive associations. Making sure that your dog trusts you is very, very important. Okay? Very important. So I hope this helps you a little bit. If you're having some issues with resource guarding, please reach out to us. We can help you virtually. That is not something we need to be in the home to help you with. It is something that is very doable. Understanding it is first and foremost. Building that trust with your dog, being the one that they can trust. If your dog doesn't trust you, you're going to have more of a challenge of helping them overcome the resource guarding. If your dog is resource guarding items in the house with other pets, we have to make sure we're dealing with that correctly, right? Not punishing them for that, but also not letting the dog who wants to come steal the item get away with it. Or if they do steal it, let them just get away with it. At that point, I'm going to get it from the dog that stole it, giving it back to the original owner of that item. And then I'll find something else for the dog that stole the item. I'll find them something else to chew on. I have to make sure I am controlling that environment. if we're having those issues. So please reach out if you do have some, issues with resource guarding, no matter how minor it may seem, because if we don't take care of it or if we don't help the dog understand, it can escalate and it can create some real serious problems for people in the home. So be sure that you reach out. Anyway, I hope that helps today. I know that there was a lot kind of thrown out there with some resource guarding, and I hope that makes sense to you. We do have an earlier episode of resource guarding. You can check that out. That was back in, I think, 2020. So it's been a few years since we've done one specifically for resource guarding. Possibly we've done one in the last couple of years and we just named it differently. But yeah, that's it. That's what I got. And I hope I see you guys on Thursday if you're local. If not, please check out our online content, guys. We do a lot of really good online content for you, and we want you to take advantage of it, okay? It is important to get yourself educated so that if you're educated and understanding how dogs communicate and understand why that resource guarding is happening, then it's going to help you to make better decisions on how to deal with it instead of just having your own visceral response and being pissed off because your dog is disrespecting you, and I'm using air quotes. Again, doesn't have anything to do with you more than likely, unless you've created a negative history where you've stolen things, you've aggravated them while they're eating, and you've been trying to prove yourself as the dominant one. Really, you're just being an asshole, so can we just stop, please? Stop that. Yeah, that's what I got. And there were a lot of words that I used in the foul language today. I'm just feeling it. And I'm excited about the event on Thursday. I'm excited for the recording with Lisa from The Infinite Unfolding. I'm so excited. And be sure, guys, if you're on TikTok, follow me. If you're on Instagram, follow me. Dog Speak 101. Be sure you check us out. I'm putting out a lot of really good content for you guys, and our YouTube page is starting to really blow up. I'll be putting a new video on there today, so be sure you're checking that out and subscribe so you don't miss any of the new videos that we post. Okay, whew, there we go. There's my fear of, as y'all probably noticed, I have a fear of dead air. I don't let that happen very often, do I? I appreciate you might have to slow this thing down just to make any sense of it. I promise you I've not had too much caffeine. I actually feel like I've not had enough caffeine today. So I'm going to go grab that and start working on this video that I'm about to put on YouTube. In the meantime, check us out. Follow us. Get the make sure you sign up for the newsletter. Rate and review wherever you find this podcast. We really appreciate it. Helps us to find new listeners. And I love you very, very much. I appreciate you. And I hope you have a great rest of your week.